الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. With lesson number four, الدرس الرابع, we will start off with a brief revision of one very important rule we have done so far. And then following this brief revision of that rule, we'll have a look at the new things we're going to learn in درس الرابع. And these new things, they just add on a tiny little bit to what we've learned so far. And then once we look at these new things that we've done, and these new things, I'll be starting off with a summary explanation of these new things. And then once we've done these, then we'll move on to the درس الرابع, lesson number four, from the book, from its first page, and read that. And after that, we'll have a look at all the tamarin, one after the other. To start off with the revision, recalling from before, the main type of sentence we've done so far is the type where there are only two words. The first word is what we are speaking about, and that's the subject. And the second word is some sort of information or news. So, an example of this would be al-babu kabirun, meaning the door is large, the door is big. So notice with both of these words, the first word, the subject which we are speaking of, al-babu, it has al, it is a definite word, it has al, and it also has a dhamma. It has al and it has dhamma, and because it has al, it has only one dhamma and no tanween. The important thing is the first word al-babu, it has al and it has a dhamma, and the second word, the news about it, kabirun, also has a dhamma but has no al. So since it has no al, it has a tanween at the end, and we say kabirun and we don't say kabiru. So the whole sentence of the type we've done so far is al-babu kabirun. Another example like that is al-babu maftuhun. Al-babu maftuhun. Notice again, the first word in this sentence, al-babu maftuhun, the door is open. The first word in this sentence again has al and has a dhamma, al-babu. And the second word, the information or news about it, the khabar, it has no al and it also has a dhamma. So we say al-babu maftuhun. So both the mubtada, the first word in the sentence, and the khabar, the second word in the sentence, both of them have a dhamma, except the mubtada has also a al in beginning of it. So the two sentences of that type that we're revising, it's al-babu kabirun, al-babu maftuhun. More sentences of that type, al-qalamu saghirun, meaning the pen is small. Also, al-qalamu jadidun, meaning the pen is new. Also, we can say, al-qalamu jamilun, meaning the pen is beautiful or the pen looks nice. Again, also more examples. You can say al-kursiyu maksurun, al-kursiyu maksurun, meaning the chair is broken. Notice in all these sentences, the first word al-mubtada, it has al and it has a dhamma, and the second word khabar has dhamma also but has no al. So al-kursiyu maksurun, al-babu maftuhun, al-babu kabirun, al-qalamu jamilun, al-qalamu saghirun, and so on. So these are the type of sentences that we've done so far until now before درس الرابع. In درس الرابع, moving on to the summary of درس الرابع, the main principles that we learn in درس الرابع. The first of the main things we learn in درس الرابع is to add a word that is called حرف الجر. This word, an example of which is al-baytu, which is a normal word. This is the very first thing written in the textbook, in درس الرابع. It says al-baytu, And then there's a word before it, and that word is fi. Fi in Arabic, fi means in, inside something. So, al-baytu fil bayti. In the textbook it says al-baytu fil bayti. So, al-baytu on its own, with no influence before it and nothing at all, as a default, it will be that noun, al-baytu, it will have a dhamma. But when it has fi before it, fi meaning in or inside, when the word fi comes before al-baytu, it changes the end sign from dhamma into a kasra. So instead of al-baytu, it now becomes fi al-bayti. Fi al-bayti. So instead of al-baytu, it's become al-bayti. Fil bayti. This word fi is called harf al-jar. And such a word as fi, the harf al-jar, it makes the noun that comes after it end in a kasra. It makes the noun that comes after it end in a kasra. So al-baytu becomes fi al-bayti. Likewise, the second example at the top of that page, in dars al-rabi', al-maktabu. Al-maktabu meaning the desk. Al-maktabu, it becomes al-maktabi. Al-maktabi. Ala is a harf al-jar like fi. Fi meant inside or in, and ala means on top of something. So al-maktabu ends with a dhamma because there's nothing before it, no influence on it. When you put a harf al-jar before, its influence, the influence of harf al-jar on the noun al-maktab, is to change the noun to end in a kasra instead of a dhamma. So you say al-maktabu ala al-maktabi. Al-maktabu ala al-maktabi. So once again, al-baytu becomes fil-bayti, meaning inside the house. Fi al-bayti. Al-maktabu becomes ala al-maktabi, meaning on the desk. The other two examples also at the top of Dars al-Rabi' are al-masjidu, the masjid, the mosque. Al-masjidu fil-masjidi. Al-masjidu fil-masjidi. Again, the harf al-jar fi in has come before the word al-masjid, so it makes it from al-masjidu into al-masjidi. So it ends with a kasra. And the fourth word in Dars al-Rabi' in the beginning, it's as-sariru ala as-sariri. As-sariru is the default, finishing with a dhamma, but when you put a harf al-jar ala in the beginning of it, it changes it to end, it changes the noun after it to finish in a kasra. So it becomes as-sariru, becomes ala as-sariri, on the bed, ala as-sariri. So this is the first rule we do in Dars al-Rabi'. And this first rule is, to sum it up, any noun that has a harf al-jar before it, that harf al-jar transforms that noun from before it was ending with a dhamma, and now after the harf al-jar comes before it, it now ends with a kasra. So al-baytu becomes fil-bayti, meaning inside the house, and so on. The second of the main principles that we do in Dars al-Rabi' is just a tiny little pronoun, a tiny little pronoun, which we can see in the following example. We'll see a masculine form as well as a feminine form for it. Someone asks a question, Aina Muhammadun? Someone asks you, Aina Muhammadun? So you reply and you say, Muhammadun fil ghurfati. Muhammadun fil ghurfati, meaning Muhammad is in the ghurfa. Ghurfa meaning the room. Notice again, you said Muhammadun fil ghurfati. So fil ghurfa, the fi makes al ghurfati in ending in a kasra. Going back to the rule, Aina Muhammadun, we say Muhammadun fil ghurfati. Muhammad is in the room. However, instead of repeating Muhammad again, we can simply reply to the question, where is Muhammad? Aina Muhammadun? We can simply reply to it using a pronoun by saying, he is in the room. Instead of repeating and saying, Muhammad is in the room, we can just say, he is in the room. The word for he in Arabic is huwa, huwa, which is ha, waw, huwa. And that's the second of the thing we learn in this Dars al-Rabi'. So if someone asks you a question, Aina Muhammadun? And you reply, huwa fil ghurfati, huwa fil ghurfati. Someone asks you again, Wa aina yasirun? Where is yasir? Wa, of course, means and. Wa aina yasirun? And where is yasir? And you reply by saying, huwa fil hammami, huwa fil hammami. He is in the hammam, the bathroom. So the question, wa aina yasirun? Huwa fil hammami. So this pronoun huwa is used for a male, a masculine. And it's not just used for a male human being, such as Muhammadun and Yasirun. It's also used for a word that in Arabic is regarded as a masculine word. Or a male, the word itself is regarded as a masculine or a male. So an example of that is Aina al-Maktabu. Aina al-Maktabu. You could reply to that by saying huwa fil bayti, or you can say huwa fil ghurfati. But let's have a look at the example that's in the textbook as well. Example in the textbook asks aina al-kitabu, where is the book? Aina al-kitabu. Notice al-kitabu ends with a dhamma because aina coming before it, aina has no influence on the word after it. So it doesn't change the dhamma into fatha or kasra or anything like that at all. Aina is not a harf al-jar. So that's why al-kitabu remains on its default, which is a dhamma, al-kitabu. So you say, aina al-kitabu. And the answer, huwa ala al-maktabi. Huwa ala al-maktabi. Huwa meaning he or it. Because al-kitab in Arabic is regarded as a masculine word. So referring to that, you use the pronoun he or it, as in for the masculine. So, أين الكتاب هو على المكتب. It is on the desk. You could have said, أين الكتاب؟ الكتاب على المكتب. But instead of repeating that again, you just say simply, هو على المكتب. So, these two examples are for the males. One is for a male human being, an عاقل, and the other is for a غير عاقل, such as الكتاب, which is regarded as a masculine word. So the two examples were Aina Muhammadun huwa fil ghurfati, Aina al-kitabu huwa ala al-maktabi. Now let's look at a feminine instead of the masculine, the feminine pronoun instead of the masculine. So instead of someone asking you Aina Muhammadun, they now ask you about a female human being and they say Aina Aminatu, Aina Aminatu. Aminatu, of course, name of a female human being. Aina aminatu, and remember from before, aminatu does not have tanween, aminatun is incorrect. Why? Because it's a female name, and names of the females, they do not have tanween. But we'll come to that a little later. Aina aminatu, and the reply is, hiya fil matbakhi, hiya fil matbakhi. Hiya is the pronoun for she. Aina aminatu, hiya fil matbakhi. Instead of saying aminatu fil matbakhi, you say hiya fil matbakhi. And of course, because of fi al matbakh, instead of al matbakhu, it becomes fil matbakhi. Fi al matbakhi. Say aina aminatu hiya fil matbakhi. Now that is for a human being that is female. Now there are words in Arabic that are feminine, and usually these words are the ones that end with a ta, the circular ta, the ta marbuta, at the end of the word. Words that end with the circular ta marbuta, they are regarded as feminine in Arabic. So, as-sa'atu meaning the clock. As-sa'atu, because it ends with a ta marbuta at the end, the circular ta, that's why it's regarded as a feminine word. So, if someone asks you, Aina as-sa'atu? Aina as-sa'atu? Where is the clock? You would reply by saying, As-sa'atu ala as-sariri. As-sa'atu ala as-sariri. The clock is on the bed. But instead of repeating sa'a again, because it's understood, we can simply say, it is on the bed instead of saying the clock is on the bed. So أين sa'atu hiya ala sariri. أين sa'atu hiya ala sariri. So hiya is for feminine, whether it's a female human being عاقل or female who is غير عاقل, such as الساعة, a clock. So to sum up the second rule, for a male, we say أين محمدٌ, and the reply is هو في الغرفة. And for a object, أين الكتاب هو على المكتب, meaning the book is or it is on the desk. For the feminine, أين آمنة, the reply is using هي. So you would say هي في المطبخ. أين الساعة, هي على السرير. And this is the second rule in درس الرابع. The third of the rules that we learn in الدرس الرابع, I mentioned that just a little while ago, and that is to do with تنوين on the names of people, on the names of human beings. When you come to أسماء الرجال, when you're looking at names of men, such as Muhammad, Hamid, Khalid, these names of men, they end with two dhamma. They end with two dhamma, making the sound of un at the end. And this sound of un, meaning the repetition of any vowel sign, un, an, or in, of course, if you recall, that is what a tanween is. Tanween is to repeat, meaning two of a vowel sign, such as un, or an, or in. So with Muhammad, it has a tanween of dhamma, and you say Muhammadun. With Hamid, because it's also the name of a male person, you say Hamidun, Khalidun, Abbasun, Mahmudun, and so on. So all masculine, all names of male human beings end with two dhamma with a tanween. In fact, not all names, but a common usual name of a male person ends with a tanween of dhamma. So you say Muhammadun, Hamidun, Khalidun. Whatever the sign be, the important thing is it has a tanween. But on the other hand, if you look at Asma al-Nisa, if you look at the names of the women, then the names of the women do not end with a tanween. The names of women end with only one vowel sign. So you say Aminatu, Aminatu. Whereas for the man, you had said Muhammadun. For the woman, you say Aminatu. Again, another name of a female person, Khadija. With Khadija, you don't use Tanween again at the end because it's the name of a female person, human being. So you say Khadijatu. Just like Aminatu, Khadijatu. Another name of the female, Aishatu. So you say Aishatu. Another name of the female, Fatimatu, and so on. Even names of females that do not end with a ta, marbuta at the end, the circular ta, even such names also have one dhamma and they do not have tanween. So the important thing is names of the men have tanween and names of women do not have tanween, whether the sign be a dhamma, fatha, or kasra. So example of a name that doesn't end with a ta marbuta for a female is Zainab. Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a name, Zainab, it ends also just like any other woman's name by Zainabu. There's no tanween. It's not Zainabun. That's incorrect. The correct thing is to say Zainabu. Likewise, another name like Zainab, which does not end with a tanween, is Maryam. Maryam, and the name Maryam, the mother of the Prophet Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, Maryam also ends with one dhamma and no tanween because it's the name of a woman. So you say Maryamu, Maryamu. So to sum it up, the names of men have a tanween, whereas the name of women have no tanween. Example, Muhammadun, Hamidun, and Khalidun for a male name. Whereas for the female names, Khadijatu, Aminatu, Zainabu, Maryamu, and so on. That was the third of the rules we learned in Dars al-Rabi. Now coming on to two more rules. The next one, there isn't really anything much new in this that we haven't done something similar already. If you want to ask someone, from where are you? Meaning, which country are you from? Where do you come from? From where are you? From in Arabic is a harf al-jar that's called min. Min. Mim nun. Min. Min means from. So before we had said al-baytu fil bayti, meaning the house. Fi al-bayti, in the house. Fi meaning in. And we also said before al-maktabu, meaning the desk. And we said ala al-maktabi. Ala al-maktabi. Ala meaning on. And that was a harf al-jar, and it made the al-maktab end in a kasra. So fi and ala, we saw earlier, were two harf al-jar meaning fi, in, ala, on. They were two harf al-jar that made the word after it end in a kasra. Fil bayti, ala al-maktabi. Likewise, there are two new harf al-jar that also make the word after it end with a kasra. These two new harf al-jar that we now look at, the first one is min. Min means from. From. Min is from. So for example, you say min as-sini. Min as-sini. As-sinu, as-sinu in Arabic is China. As-sin is the name of the country, China. So you say as-sinu, but if there is min before it, meaning from China, someone is from China. So if you're saying from China, you say min as-sini. Min as-sini. So as-sinu becomes as-sini. Say min as-sini. The second of the harf al-jar that we look at in a few minutes, that is called ila. Ila. Ila means to. So min means from, as though you're coming from somewhere, and ila means to, as though you're going to somewhere else. So ila means to. And ila is also a harf al-jar, meaning it makes the word after it end with a kasra. So you would say ila as-sini, going to China. To China. Ila as-sini. As-sinu becomes ila as-sini. And that's the second of the harf al-jar, which is ila. Going back to the beginning of this rule, just to put that into an example, we want to ask someone, from where are you? You in Arabic, you, we say anta. Anta. We say anta for you, a male person. Anta. And of course, where in Arabic is aina. Where in Arabic is aina, as we've done before. So aina anta, meaning where are you? Aina anta, where are you? You can't see where somebody is, so you say aina anta. So that person might say, ana fil hammami. I am in the bathroom. Ana fi sayyarati. I am in the car. So, just as we ask aina anta, where are you, if we add from, the harf al-jar from before it, which is min, min, so aina anta, add a min before it and it becomes min aina anta, min aina anta, from where are you, from where are you, min from aina where anta you, from where are you, min aina anta. And the jawab, the answer to it will be ana min as-sini. Ana min as-sini. Meaning I. Ana means I. Remember we said anta means you, male person, anta you. Ana means I. Even though it's written alif, as in a hamza, noon, and it finishes with a alif, so you would think it's pronounced as ana with a long alif at the end, ana, but it's not pronounced ana, it's pronounced ana. Ana, as just a short ana and not ana. So if someone asks you min aina anta, from where are you, you would reply, if you were from China, you would reply ana min as-sini. Ana, I, min, from, as-sini. China. I am from China. أنا من الصيني. Somebody else may be from another country, such as Japan. And Japan in Arabic is al-yabanu. 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 So if someone asks such a person, min aina anta? From where are you? The person would reply, ana min al-yabani. Ana min al-yabani. Likewise, a third person might be from India. And India in Arabic is called Al-Hind. Al-Hind. Al-Hind means India. So if someone asked such a person, min aina anta? Min aina anta? The person would reply, ana min al-Hindi. Ana min al-Hindi. Al-Hindu, al-Hindu becomes min al-Hindi. Because of min the harf al-jar, al-Hindu becomes al-Hindi. Min aina anta? Ana min al-Hindi. Ana min al-Hindi. So this is the third rule. You ask someone min aina anta and you would reply ana min al-Hindi. Sorry, it's actually the fourth of the major rule that we've done so far. Notice in this, we say ana min al-Hindi. That al, if you're joining it to the one before, you would say min al-Hindi. Al begins with alif lam. That alif, remember, if you have a word before it with a fatha, kasra, dhamma, then you don't pronounce the alif in al-Hindu or as-Sinu or ad-Dukkanu or at-Tajiru, al-Baytu. You don't pronounce that al, you don't pronounce the alif, which is called Hamzatul Wasl, if there is a sign on a word before it. But here, the word before it is min. And min ends with a noon that has a sukoon and has no fatha, kasra, dhamma. So it's impossible for you to pronounce one word ending with a sukoon, such as min, and the next word beginning with a sukoon, which is the alif lam, where the hamzatul wasl would rather drop off and not be pronounced if there's a word before it. So how can you join a word ending with a sukoon and a word beginning with a sukoon? There's no way to pronounce two sukoon in a row. You can pronounce man, which has a fatha and then a sukoon. You can pronounce min, which has a kasra and then a sukoon. But you can't pronounce two letters that both come one after the other with sukoon and there is no other vowel on them. So in such a case, in the first of the two sukoons, we add a vowel sign to it. That vowel sign is added only in pronunciation, but it has no grammatical consequences. It has no grammatical consequences. It's only in pronunciation to allow you to pronounce that and join the two words together. So with min, if there is a sukoon after it, like alif lam, the, then min becomes mina, mina. You put a fatha on top of the nun. It's only for pronunciation purposes and nothing more than that. So you say, ana minasini, ana minasini. So then instead of min asini, you say, ana minasini. You also say, ana min al-yabani, ana min al-hindi, and so on. The last of the examples demonstrates a usage of the fourth of the harf al-jar, which is ila. Ila meaning two. But for us to see how it's used, let's look at two verbs. Verbs in Arabic usually come, quite often they come in a three-letter verb. And the three-letter verb usually would have its first letter and the third letter both have a fatha. Three-letter past tense verb has both its first and third letter, usually have fatha. Sometimes the middle letter might have fatha, kasra, dhamma, but the first and the third often have a fatha. That's for a usual three-letter Arabic verb. An example of that is kharaja, kharaja. Kharaja means he went out, meaning someone was inside a room, and then he left the room, so you say kharaja, meaning he went out. The huwa meaning he, is implicit in the word kharaja. So when you say kharaja, you automatically understand huwa, meaning he. So kharaja means he went out, he exited someplace. Likewise, another Arabic verb, verbs of course in Arabic are called fi'l. Fa'in lam, fi'l. Al-fi'lu means the verb. And verbs in Arabic can be al-fi'lu al-madi, meaning a verb whose action is completed and finished. Al-fi'l al-madi, meaning its action is completed and finished. Its equivalent in English is a past tense verb. The other type of verbs in Arabic is al-fi'l al-mudari', which is a verb whose action is not completed yet. It might be happening continuous all the time as we speak, or it might happen at a regular interval, like every day, every prayer time, every month, every year, and so on. All this is al-fi'l al-mudari'. We're not going to look at fi'l al-mudari' at the moment. We're only going to look at just two examples of al-fi'l al-madi, meaning the past tense verb whose action is completed. And these two verbs are kharaja. Kharaja means huwa kharaja, meaning he went out. Kharaja means he exited. And the other verb, the other fi'l we look at is dhahaba. Dhahaba. Dhahaba means huwa dhahaba, meaning he dhahaba, meaning he went away to somewhere, he went to a place. That's why dhahaba often comes after it with ila. Ila meaning to, because you say he went ila, he went to another place. So you say dhahaba ila, he went to. Whereas kharaja usually comes with min, meaning kharaja min, meaning he came out min, from. Because when you're saying came out, you want to describe where he came out from. So you say kharaja min. As for dhahaba, you often want to say where did he go to. Dhahaba means he went to. So you say dhahaba ila, he went to. So let's look at these set of examples demonstrating this last new thing that we learned in Dars al-Rabi'. Someone asks you, you are a student sitting in a classroom with other students. The teacher notices one of the students missing in the classroom, so the teacher asks you, Aina, Aina al-talibu, Aina al-talibu, where is that student, where is the student? Al-talibu, the student, Aina al-talibu. So you inform the teacher that about the student, saying kharaja, kharaja, meaning he went out. You're all sitting in the classroom, the teacher notices suddenly that the student is not there. The teacher asks you, Aina al-talibu, you say kharaja, meaning the student, meaning he went out, meaning he went out of the classroom. Aina al-talibu kharaja. Kharaja, as I said implicitly, it means huwa kharaja. Aina al-talibu kharaja. So then the teacher asks further, inquiring, where did the student go to? Fair enough, he went out of the classroom, but the teacher looks out of the door and there's no student there. So the teacher asks, the teacher knows that he went out of this classroom, but where did he go to? Where did he go to? So the teacher says, wa meaning and, aina dhahaba, aina dhahaba. Aina means where, dhahaba means he went, he went. Wa aina dhahaba, and where did he go, and where did he go? Wa aina dhahaba. So your reply to the teacher would be, dhahaba ila, meaning he went to, ila to. Dhahaba means he went, dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. Al-mirhadi. Al-mirhad, of course, is a toilet. Al-mirhad is the toilet. So, ila al-mirhadi. Notice al-mirhadu, you don't say al-mirhadu because there's a harf al-jar ila before it. So instead, you say ila al-mirhadi. It takes a kasra at the end of it. Ila al-mirhadi. So your answer, reply to the teacher would be dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. Dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. So once again, this little passage would be Aina al-talibu, Aina al-talibu, where is the student? Kharaja. Aina al-talibu, kharaja. Wa aina dhahaba, dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. Wa aina dhahaba, dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. So these are the rules, or the summary of the rules that we learn in Dars al-Rabi' in lesson number 4. So having looked at the summary, we'll move on after this to reading the Dars al-Rabi before we go on to the tamarin or the exercises. But just to recap all the main rules we've done, they are all pretty much mentioned in this last example. The rules, we learned four new harf al-jar, we learned four lots of harf al-jar, which each of these harf al-jar makes a noun after it end with a kasra. So the examples were, Aina Muhammadun, huwa fil bayti. Aina Khadijatu, hiya fil bayti. We also ask, Aina al-kitabu, huwa ala al-maktabi. Aina al-sa'atu, hiya fil ghurfati. And then we are also learnt in this lesson, you ask a person, from where are you? So you ask, min aina anta? And the person replies, ana min al-sini, ana min al-yabani, ana min al-hindi, and so on. Again, another thing we did was about the three-letter past tense verb using the harf al-jar. You ask, aina al-talibu? Where is a student? And you reply that he has gone out, kharaja. And the teacher asks, wa aina dhahaba? Where did he go? And you say, dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. And of course, the last thing that I would remind is the names of the male people, such as Muhammad, Hamid, Khalid, they have tanween, and you say Muhammadun, Khalidun, Hamidun, whereas the names of the females do not have tanween. Examples, Khadijatu, Aminatu, Fatimatu, Zainabu, Maryamu, and so on. Now let's look at Dars al-Rabi' right from the top of it. On page 1 of Dars al-Rabi' Alif, it says, as we have read earlier before, Al-Baytu fil Bayti. Al-Baytu fil Bayti. The house fil Bayti, in the house. And notice it ends with a kasra, fil Bayti. Al-Masjidu fil Masjidi. Al-Masjidu ending with a Dhamma, you add a harf al-jar fi before it, it becomes fil Masjidi. Next line, al-maktabu ala al-maktabi. The harf al-jar ala comes and al-maktabu becomes al-maktabi, meaning on the desk. Al-maktabu ala al-maktabi. Likewise, as-sariru, the bed, ala al-sariri, on the bed. In ba, below that, we see some sentences, and these sentences use the pronoun huwa for a male and hiya for a female. Notice huwa is used for a human being, and it for a masculine word, and likewise here is used for she, a human being, and also it for a feminine word, such as as-sa'atu, that ends with a ta marbuta at the end of it. So we read here in the textbook, aina muhammadun huwa fil ghurfati, aina muhammadun huwa fil ghurfati. Where is Muhammad? He is in the room. Wa aina yasirun? Where is ya? And where is Yasir? Wa aina Yasirun? Huwa fil hammami. Huwa fil hammami. He is in the bathroom. Wa aina Aminatu? Wa aina Aminatu? And where is Amina? Hiya fil matbakhi. Hiya fil matbakhi. She is in the kitchen. Notice Aminatu has no tanween. Wa aina Aminatu? Hiya fil matbakhi. Because of fi, it becomes al matbakhi. أين الكتاب? Where is the book? هو على المكتب. It is on the desk. الكتاب, a masculine word, therefore we use هو على المكتب. وأين الساعة? And where is the clock? الساعة ends with the circular تا, تا مربوطة. Therefore الساعة is regarded as a feminine noun. And you say وأين الساعة? And the reply, هي على السرير. هي على السرير. Meaning she, as in it, the female, it is on the bed. Hiya ala sariri. Once again, aina Muhammadun huwa fil ghurfati. Wa aina Yasirun huwa fil hammami. Wa aina Aminatu hiya fil matbakhi. Aina al-kitabu huwa ala al-maktabi. Wa aina as-sa'atu hiya ala sariri. Let's move on to the tamarin. Tamarin, of course, is the jam', meaning the plural. Tamarin is a plural and it means exercises. And it's mufrad, it's singular, is tamreen, meaning an exercise. So the first tamreen, at-tamreen al-awwal, asks us to do something. It says, ajib عن الأسئلة الآتية. Ajib means answer. It's commanding us, ordering us. Ajib, meaning answer. عن الأسئلة الآتية. الأسئلة is plural of سؤال. سؤال means question. الأسئلة is a plural meaning questions. الآتية means the following. أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية. أين الكتاب is the question. Mind you, the answers for التمرين الأول, it's not just answers you make up, but you pick the answer for it in the passage we just read before. And the purpose of this is to check your comprehension and understanding of what you just read before. So you don't make up an answer, but you will actually find the answer in the passage before. The way, if you can pick the answer from the right place and put it to the right question, that indicates that inshallah you have understood what the passage was all about. أين الكتاب هو على المكتب. أين الكتاب هو على المكتب. You find that in the second last line of the passage above. أين الكتاب هو على المكتب. The rest of the answers, you can find them in the same passage as well. Try them yourself first before you come and look at these answers or listen to these answers. The next question, the question after أين الكتاب is أين محمد. أين محمد. That's the سؤال. The question, the jawab, the answer is هو في الغرفة. هو في الغرفة. He is in the room. أين الساعة. أين الساعة. Where is the clock. هي على السرير. هي على السرير. It is on the bed. أين ياسر. أين ياسر. Where is ياسر. We look up in the passage above. It says هو في الحمام. هو في الحمام. Next question. أين آمنة. أين آمنة. Where is آمنة. أين آمنة. And the جواب for that, the answer, the جواب for that is أين آمنة. هي في المطبخ. هي في المطبخ. Next question, number 6. آمنة في الغرفة. آمنة في الغرفة. Notice آمنة في الغرفة means آمنة is in the room. If you add an A before it, you simply turn it into a question. It's as though you have put a question mark at the end of a sentence, except you write A in the beginning of the sentence. آمنة في الغرفة. آمنة في الغرفة. Meaning is آمنة in the room. آمنة في الغرفة. And the جواب, if you look in the page before in the passage, it says that آمنة is not in the غرفة. It says she's in the مطبخ. So the question is آمنة في الغرفة. The جواب, لا. هي في المطبخ. لا هي في المطبخ. Meaning no, she is in the kitchen. أياسر في المطبخ. أياسر في المطبخ. Is ياسر in the kitchen. لا هو في الحمام. لا meaning no, هو في الحمام. He is in the bathroom. Notice after في الحمام becomes with a كسرة. في الحمام. من في الغرفة. من. Notice من is different to من. من means from. من means who. من في الغرفة. How do you know? When you see it's written in the question, it doesn't say if it's me or ما. But you understand it from the meaning of it. Because if you asked من في الغرفة, meaning from in the room, from in the room, it makes no sense. So it can't be من from. It has to be من in this sentence. من في الغرفة. Who is in the room? والجواب محمد في الغرفة. محمد في الغرفة. Because if you look at the beginning of the passage on the previous page, أين محمد هو في الغرفة. Where is Muhammad? He is in the room. So that means Muhammad is in the غرفة. So the question number 8 said من في الغرفة. الجواب محمد في الغرفة. السؤال. The question 9. ومن في الحمام. And who is in the حمام. ومن في الحمام. ياسر في الحمام. ياسر في الحمام. ماذا على المكتب. ماذا على المكتب. ماذا is the same. It's more or less the same as ما. ما means what. ماذا means what. ماذا على المكتب. what is on the maktab, and ماذا has no influence on dhamma, kasra, or fatha of the word after it. It just simply comes on its own. It comes on its own without influencing the sign of the word after. ماذا على المكتب, meaning what is on the desk, looking at the passage before. أين الكتاب, هو على المكتب. That means الكتاب is on the maktab. So coming back to question number 15, ماذا على المكتب, what is on the desk. الكتاب على المكتب. الكتاب على المكتب. Sorry, that was not question 15, that was question 10. If you look at السؤال الحادي عشر, question number 11, ماذا على السرير. ماذا على السرير. What is on the سرير, the bed. Looking at the passage from before, وأين الساعة هي على السرير. Where is the clock? The clock is on the bed. That means the sa'a, the clock, is on the bed. So the question asked us, question number 11, ماذا على السرير. الجواب, الساعة على السرير. الساعة على السرير. The important thing here is, notice الساعة, you put it with a dhamma, الساعة, because there's no other influence on it. So the default for a noun without any influence is to put a dhamma. الساعة على السرير. السرير has على, the حرف الجر before it. So السرير becomes كسرة. السريري. الساعة على السرير. So try the exercise, تمرين الأول, exercise one by yourself, and then listen to these questions, because this is to check your comprehension of what you read before, to see whether you understood it, and then how well you can express what you just understood. Let's move on to exercise number two, التمرين الثاني. التمرين means exercise, الثاني, second. التمرين الثاني asks us to do, اقرأ, اقرأ, واكتب. اقرأ means read, واكتب means write. اقرأ واكتب مع ضبط أواخر الكلمات. أواخر, endings, الكلمات, words. So read and write by specifying the endings of the word precisely. المدرسة في المدرسة. The school, in the school. المدرسة في المدرسة. في البيت, in the house. في البيت, البيت. الغرفة, الغرفة, the room. الحمام, the bathroom. الحمام. في المطبخ, in the kitchen. في المطبخ. المكتب, the desk. على المكتب, on the desk. على الكرسي, on the chair. على الكرسي. السرير, the bed. على على الكتاب, on the book. على الكتاب, on the book. في المسجد, في المسجد, in the masjid. In all of these, the main thing is the حرف الجر, if it comes, the word after it, the noun after it, ends with a kasra, such as the last two we did. على الكتاب, في المسجد. Now moving on, the next one says اقرأ واكتب, read and write. اقرأ واكتب. Now you read what it says loudly, because that will help you as well. And then after that, write it all, because as you write it, it reinforces what you have just read slowly in your mind. الطالب في الجامعة. الطالب في الجامعة. Important thing is the endings of the word, to have them correctly. And notice how I end each word, whether it's with a dhamma or kasra. And the reason I ended with a kasra or dhamma is because of the rules that we've mentioned earlier. الطالب في الجامعة. Ask yourself, why did I say في الجامعة? Because there's a حرف جر في before الجامعة. الطالب في الجامعة. الرجل في المسجد. الرجل في المسجد. الرجل has no other influence before, it's just a noun, and its default is to have a dhamma. So الرجل في المسجد. المسجد becomes في المسجد. الرجل في المسجد. The man is in the mosque. The sentence before الطالب في الجامعة, it means the student is in the الجامعة, university. The student is in the university. الجملة الثالثة, the third sentence. أين التاجر؟ أين التاجر؟ هو في الدكان. هو في الدكان. أين التاجر؟ هو في الدكان. Where is the businessman? He is in the shop. القلم على المكتب. القلم على المكتب. The pen is on the desk. القلم على المكتب. أين زينب؟ Where is زينب؟ أين زينب؟ Notice a زينب. No tanwin and it has a dhamma. أين زينب؟ هي في الغرفة. هي في الغرفة. أين زينب؟ هي في الغرفة. Where is زينب؟ She is in the room. The next jumla, next sentence. أين الورق؟ أين الورق؟ الورق in Arabic, it means a leaf of a tree and it also means a paper. It can mean a leaf of a tree or a paper. Here, I believe they're referring to the paper. أين الورق؟ Where is the paper? هو على المكتب. هو على المكتب. It is on the desk. أين المدرس؟ المدرس teacher. Where is the teacher? أين المدرس؟ هو في الفصل. هو في الفصل. الفصل means the classroom. Where is the teacher? He is in the classroom. أين المدرس؟ هو في الفصل. أين ياسر؟ Where is ياسر؟ هو في المرحاض. هو في المرحاض. He is in the toilet. أين ياسر؟ هو في المرحاض. الشمس والقمر في السماء. الشمس meaning the sun. القمر meaning the moon. في السماء. في means in of course. And السماء means the sky. And it also means in Arabic just up high where the sky is and way beyond it, above it. الشمس والقمر في السماء. The sun and the moon are in the sky. The last jumla, last sentence. من في الفصل. من في الفصل. Who is في الفصل. Who is in the classroom. Of course you can reply by saying المدرس في الفصل. Or you can say الطالب في الفصل. Or you can say الرجل في الفصل. Or الولد في الفصل. And so on. The next section of الدرس الرابع is just reinforcing the point that I mentioned earlier, or it's introducing the point that I mentioned earlier, which is that the masculine names, the names of male people, have a tanwin. They have a doubled up vowel sign at the end of them. Whereas the name of a female person does not have tanwin. The vowel sign is only one vowel and no two vowels, no tanwin. So for the males, you say Muhammadun with a tanwin, un. Whereas for the female, you say Aminatu and you do not say Aminatun. Instead, you say Aminatu. So Muhammadun, going down the list. In fact, let's look at one male name and one female name so you can compare how it's different between male and female. Muhammadun, Aminatu. Khalidun, Zainabu. Hamidun, Fatimatu. It's not Fatimatun, it's Fatimatu. Yasirun, Maryamu. Ammarun, Aishatu. Sa'idun, Khadijatu. Not Khadijatun, Khadijatu. Aliyun, Aliyun, Safiyatu. Aliyun, Safiyatu. Abbasun, Abbasun, Ruqayyatu. Iqra waktub, the next exercise. Iqra meaning read, waktub and write, ma'a dabti awakhir al-kalimat, specifying the endings of the word. Hamidun ends with a tanween. That's what they want to know in this exercise. Do you make a tanween, a double sound, the un sound, for the endings of the male people's name? And for the female, no tanween, just a u, but no un. Hamidun, Zainabu. Aminatu, Ammarun. سعيد فاطمة مريم علي خالد عباس عائشة محمد صفية and خديجة. I'll read it again. حامد زينب آمنة عمار سعيد فاطمة مريم علي خالد عباس عائشة محمد صفية خديجة. The next subsection that comes up introduces the very last point that I had mentioned, which was the verb and using min and ila. So the first two examples demonstrate the use of min, meaning from, the harf al-jar, and the noun after it has a kasra. Al-baytu, becomes min al-bayti, from the house. Min al-bayti, from the house. Al-masjidu ila al-masjidi. Ila means to al-masjidi, not al-masjidu, but ila al-masjidi. Reading below that, al-mudarrisus. This is al-mudarris asking, and this is a dialogue between mudarris, the teacher, and Muhammad, the student. Or in fact, there are different students that are being spoken about. Min ayna anta? Ana min al-yabani. From where are you? Min ayna anta? Ana min al-yabani. I am from Japan. Min ayna anta? Ana min al-yabani. Wa min ayna ammarun? And from where is Ammar? Huwa min al-sini. Huwa min al-sini. He is from China. Wa min ayna hamidun? Wa min ayna hamidun? And from where is Hamid? Huwa min al-hindi. Huwa min al-hindi. And he is from India. The mudarris keeps on asking, أين عباس? Where is Abbas? Muhammad replies, خرج. خرج. Remember, خرج is a three-letter verb of past tense, meaning he went out. أين عباس خرج? The teacher asks, أين ذهب? Where did he go? Muhammad replies, ذهب إلى المديري. ذهب إلى المديري. He went to المديري. Al-mudir is the principal, or manager, or director. The teacher asks again, وَأَيْنَ ذَهَبَ عَلِيٌّ? وَأَيْنَ ذَهَبَ عَلِيٌّ? Notice, why is عَلِيٌّ with a dhamma? Why is عَلِيٌّ and not عَلِيًّا or عَلِيٍّ? The reason for that is, ذَهَبَ is a fi'l madi. ذَهَبَ is a past tense verb. And if you mention the doer of that action of going away, that past tense verb, ذهب means he went away. If you mention and specify who went away, the doer of the action of going away, that doer of the action, it's termed in Arabic grammar, it's called فاعل. فاعل means the doer of the verb. So the doer of the action here, the action is ذهب, meaning he went away. And the doer of the action going away is Ali. Ali is the fa'il. He is the one who went away. So you denote the person or the doer of the action. You denote the doer of the action with the sign of Dhamma. With the sign of Dhamma. And the doer of the action usually comes after the verb itself. Dhahaba Aliyun. Dhahaba Aliyun. Meaning Ali went. So ذَهَبَ is a verb, a fi'l madi, and عَلِي is the doer of the action, so you put a dhamma on it. This is very important to remember and realize that the fa'il or doer of a verb, we give its last letter the dhamma sign. So we say ذَهَبَ عَلِيٌ. Ali went. So the mudarris asks, وَأَيْنَ ذَهَبَ عَلِيٌ? And where did Ali go? Muhammad replies, ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمِرْحَاضِ. ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمِرْحَاضِ. He went to the toilet. ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمِرْحَاضِ. He went to the toilet. Let's look at the tamarin, the exercises. التمرين الأول, the first exercise asks you, أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية. Answer the following questions. من أين أنت? من أين أنت? And you can reply by saying, أنا من الصيني. I am from China. Or you say, أَنَا مِنَ الْهِنْدِ. I am from India. Or you can say, أَنَا مِنَ الْيَابَانِ. I am from Japan. Now notice, some countries that end with the long vowel of fatha, the long vowel of fatha, such as America, Australia, or Malaysia, or Indonesia, you can't put a kasra at the end because it ends with a long vowel So what you do is you keep the long vowel the way it is, but you just consider and regard it that there is a kasra, but it does not appear in pronunciation because you cannot pronounce e when the word ends with a long vowel like that. So min aina anta, you would reply by saying ana min Malaysia, ana min Malaysia. Or you say ana min Indonesia, ana min Indonesia. Or you might say ana min America, ana min America. Or ana min Australia, and so on. A anta min al Filippini? The question asks, a anta min al Filippini? Are you from the Philippines? And the answer would be La Ana min al Hindi. La Ana min al Sini. La Ana min al Yabani, and so on. And if you are from Philippines, you would say Naam Ana min al Filippini. Naam Ana min al Filippini. The third question, Man min al Sini. Man min al Sini. And who is from Sin? Man who min from a Sin. Who is from Sin? So you may reply by saying, if you look in the passage before, you learn that Ammar is from Sin. So this question, Man min al-Sini, you would reply by saying, Ammarun min al-Sini. Next question, Min ayna Hamidun? Min ayna Hamidun? And if you look at the passage before, it says, Huwa min al-Hindi. Huwa min al-Hindi. Next sual, Aina dhahaba Abbasun? Aina dhahaba Abbasun? Look at the passage before. It says, Dhahaba ila al-Mudiri. Dhahaba ila al-Mudiri. Your answer would be the question, Aina dhahaba Abbasun? Al-Jawab, Dhahaba ila al-Mudiri. And if you want to specify the fa'il, the doer of the action, then put it after the verb and put a dhamma at the end of it. So you would say, Dhahaba Abbasun. We're saying Abbasun because there's no al on Abbas. Dhahaba Abbasun ila al-Mirhadi. Next sual, Adhahaba Aliyun ila al-Mudiri? Adhahaba Aliyun ila al-Mudiri? And jawab, Adhahaba Aliyun ila al-Mudiri? Remember, it's Abbas who went to the Mudir and not Ali. And the question is asking, did Ali go to the Mudir? Adhahaba Aliyun ila al-Mudiri? You would say, La. La, Adhahaba Abbasun ila al-Mudiri. The question is, أَذَهَبَ عَلِيٌّ إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ? You say, لَا ذَهَبَ عَبَّاسٌ إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ. تمرين الثاني, اقرأ واكتب مع ضبط أواخر الكلمات. Read and write by specifying the endings of the words. And again, they want to check whether after the حرف الجر من and إلى, do you put a كسرة. الغرفة من الغرفة. الغرفة من الغرفة. من الحمام المرحاض إلى المرحاض اليابان الفلبين من الهند إلى الصين. I'll read it again and notice after min and ila the word ends with a kasra e. But if there's no min or ila, the default for the noun is to end with a u sound. الغرفة من الغرفة من الحمام المرحاض إلى المرحاض اليابان الفلبين من الهند إلى الصين. The next تمرين, تمرين number 3, says اقرأ واكتب. Read and write. The first of the سؤال, من أين فاطمة? من أين فاطمة? Where is فاطمة from? هي من الهند. She is from India. من أين فاطمة? هي من الهند. خرج المدرس من الفصل. Notice, خرج is verb فعل ماضي. So the next word after it, al-mudarris, is the doer of the action of going out. He is the fa'il. So the doer of the action, you put at the end of it the dhamma. So that's why you say al-mudarrisu. خرج المدرس من الفصل وذهب إلى المدير. The mudarris went out of the classroom and he went to the principal. خرج المدرس من الفصل وذهب إلى المدير. The next jumla, ذهب التاجر إلى الدكان. ذهب التاجر إلى الدكان. Meaning, the businessman went to the shop. Notice, الدكان becomes إلى الدكان. Ends with a كسرة because you have the حرف الجر إلى before it. ذهب التاجر إلى الدكان. And التاجر ends with a ضمة because التاجر is the doer of the action, the فاعل of the action of going away. ذهب. So that's why it has the fa'il has a dhamma. ذهب التاجر إلى الدكان. The next جملة, خرج حامد. Notice خرج فعل ماضي. حامد is the doer of action of going out. So the fa'il, the doer of action, ends with a dhamma. خرج حامد من الغرفة وذهب إلى الحمام. خرج حامد من الغرفة وذهب إلى الحمام. حامد went out of the room and he went to the bathroom. The next jumla, next sentence, من خرج من الفصل? من خرج من الفصل? Man means who. Kharaja min al-fasli. Who went out of the classroom? The next jumla, number 6. Kharaja al-talibu. Al-talibu is ending with a dhamma u, because that is the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb mentioned before it, of going out. Kharaja al-talibu min al-madrasati wa dhahaba ila al-suqi. Kharaja al-talibu min al-madrasati wa dhahaba ila al-suqi. Al-suq means a market or the market. The last jumla in that tamreen, khadijatu is a feminine. Khadijatu is feminine, that's why it has no tanween, no un. Khadijatu min al-sini wa khalidun, which is masculine, so it has tanween, wa khalidun min al-yabani. Khadijatu min al-sini wa khalidun min al-yabani. Let's look at the last of the tamreens, which is number 4. Dha' means put down. Dha' means put down. Fil faraghi, in the blank. Fima yali, in that which follows. Harf jarrin, a harf jar, such as fi, min, ila, ala. So dha' fil faraghi fima yali harf jarrin munasiban. Munasiban means suitable. So put in the blanks a suitable harf jar. The harf jar you're choosing from are written there. Min, from, ila, to. Fi means in, and lastly, ala means on. So you choose between min, ila, fi, ala. Al-kitabu blank al-maktab. Al-kitabu blank al-maktab. That blank must be the kitab, the book, can only be on top of the table and not in the table or to or from the table. So you say al-kitabu ala al-maktabi. Al-kitabu ala al-maktabi. The next one, الطالب blank الفصل. The student, classroom. Must be the student is in the classroom. الطالب في الفصل. Notice the signs at the endings of the word. الطالب في الفصل. Next jumla. ذهب حامد. We say حامد with a dhamma. Why? Because that's the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb mentioned before حامد, which is ذهب, of going away. That's why حامدون, the fa'il, the doer of the action, takes dhamma. ذهب حامدون إلى الجامعة. ذهب حامدون إلى الجامعة. حامد went to the university. خرج المدير من مدرسة. خرج المدير من مدرسة. The مدير خرج. The مدير is the one who went out. So that's why we say المدير. خرج المدير. The principal went out of a school. خرج المدير من مدرسة. The last sentence uses two harf al-jar. It can just use one and that's enough. You can just say ذهب محمد إلى الياباني. ذهب محمد إلى الياباني. Muhammad went to Japan. But you can also add some information and say Muhammad went from China, من الصيني, from China, إلى الياباني, to Japan. So you say ذهب محمد من الصيني إلى الياباني. Muhammad went from Sin, from China, to Japan. Right at the bottom, at the end of this class, الدرس الرابع of the fourth lesson, you see الكلمات الجديدة, the new words that were introduced in this class. And these new words, I would encourage you to read them loudly, and while you're reading them, think of the meaning in your mind. As I said, think and picture the meaning in your mind. Don't always translate it word to word. Start to picture the meaning in your mind, because that's the best way to learn the language. Al-madrasatu means the school. Al-matbakhu means the kitchen. Al-yabanu means Japan. Al-mudiru means the principal. Going back up the list, al-madrasatu is the school. Al-faslu, the classroom. Al-hammamu, the bathroom. Al-mirhadu, the toilet. Al-matbakhu, the kitchen. Al-ghurfatu, the room. Al-jami'atu, the university. Al-suqu means the market. Al-yabanu is Japan. Al-sinu is China. Al-hindu is India. Al-filibbinu is Philippines. And al-mudiru is the principal. And the two verbs we learnt in this class are dhahaba, meaning he went, and kharaja, meaning he exited someplace. This is Dars al-Rabi', and right at the end, they mentioned the four huruf al-jar we learnt in Dars al-Rabi'. And remember the most important thing, when the harf al-jar comes, the noun after it ends with a kasra. If there is a al on that noun, it will be one kasra. If there's no al, there will be a tanween of two kasra. So fil bayti or fi baytin. Fi baytin, no al. Fi baytin, there's no al in there. Or with al, fil bayti. So you say, it says in the book, fi ala min ila. All these four, min huruf al jar. They are from the letters. Huruf means the letters of al jar. Huruf al jar.